declare that God is changing you. Amen. Because he has the power to change. And that power is here tonight. You don't have to live the way you came. But he can change you tonight. Listen, it doesn't matter what happened and how bad it is. He is a God of impossibilities. And he's still changing. He's still in the business of changing. Amen. You know, Brother took my words. Brother Dutch, he says, are you happy? I was going to use that as to break the ice. But anyway, I'm glad that you are happy because I am happy to know God and for him to know me. Listen, my friends, it's not so much what he do for me, you know. Even if he don't do nothing else, I'm still happy. I will praise him for what he has done for me. He has done already more than I can even repay. Amen. Even I wake up every morning just to think that I start with a clean slate. Nothing against me every morning. That's enough for me to praise him. Nothing to accuse me. I'm clean, justified, like I never done it. I start the day, and if I make a mistake during that day, well, he make a way for me to repent and ask him for forgiveness, and he will clean me again and start all over again. I mean, you cannot get those kind of bargains anywhere. I'm glad that's the way. That's his program. And I'm glad that he made me part of his program because I wasn't looking for a program. But the program found me. And I'm happy. And I hope you are happy too. To be in the house of the Lord, thank you musicians, to be in the house of the Lord is one of the things that really makes me even happier. You know, I was out there for 10 days visiting my brother-in-law. Keep him in prayer, you know. They found that he had cancer in the bone, and it's not the first time. First time was cancer in his lung. You remember, Richard, and you pray, and God, you know, that disappeared. Now they say he has cancer in his bone. I went to talk to him and make sure we support him, you know, and, you know, trying to help as much as we can. But I tell you what, I remind him, you know, the God that did that yesterday will do it today and will do it tomorrow. Just continue, just move forward, right? So we have a God that is our healer. Amen. And he will heal and touch the pastor and everybody else that needs a healing tonight. But I'm so happy because after those 10 days, you know, I feel miserable. I don't know about you guys. I'm out there, no church to place, no place to go, rushing, you know, rushing all day long, my elbows or my, you know, with the world, you know. It gets miserable. I mean, God is going to make it that way until you get miserable in that world, you know. You got to get desperate and miserable. And I'm out there, and I'm, you know, you guys are meeting over here, so I come back, and as soon as I got back to church, I was happy again. You know, because I need the world, and I need the word, and I need you guys, and I need the atmosphere. When I'm not in the atmosphere, and you say, but you're just the son of God. Yeah, but you're showing me out there fighting. I only can fight 1,000, but you guys, we can fight millions when we come together. And we can chase this guy out of here and then start working in what is really matters. It is the word of God in our lives. Okay, I have talked too long. Anyway, let's go to Luke chapter 24. Start with verse 13. This is very familiar to you. So I don't have any paperwork, so if you want to put it up there, Luke 24, we start with chapter 13. And let me read maybe all the way to 35. Oh, I got to open this too. Hold on. I'm talking. See, I talk, and I forget to do what I need to do. Hold on. Just give me a minute. Well, I can read it from there. And behold, two of the men went that same day to a village called Emmaus, and you know the story, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. It's about 7.5-8 miles. And they talked together of the things which has happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holding that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of a communication, you know, conversation are these that you have with one another? Are you walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleophas, answering said unto him, Art thou the only stranger in Jerusalem? And hast not known the things which are come to pass? They are in these days. And he said unto them, What things? You know, he's trying just to kind of be, you know, funny. He knows what it is. He knows all things. You see, it's for their benefit anyway. God knows everything. And he wants us, you know, to tell him what we need. We pray, even though he knows our need. But we still got to voice it. You know? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus the Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word, before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yeah, and certain women also of our company made us astonished. See, they were surprised. You know, Maria Magdalene and all the women, you know, we seen it. He resurrected, and they wasn't looking for that. They're supposed to be looking for that. They should not be surprised. And if they were astonished, it should be because it happened. Because Jesus told them that will happen, which were early in the sepulcher. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of the men which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it even so as the woman had said, but him they saw not. Then, well, they thought it was the gardener. They seen it, they just didn't recognize it. I don't want that to happen here, because that's why we had come, to see him. But if you live here and you didn't see him, and I'm talking with these eyes, talking with the spiritual eyes. Oh, fools, a sorrowful heart to believe all that the prophet has spoken. And are not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And begin at Moses and all the prophets. He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. I'm going to stop right there, but we know what the rest of the story is. I want to read you something before you see that. A couple of quotes here from Brother Branham. I mean, tons of quotes that I read, but I want to just to give you two of them to start. Now, I have a poor way of expressing my ministry, you know, he says, is that to speak for himself. He has to speak for himself. But I pray tonight, Christian friend, that the Lord Jesus that walked with some of men one day, all the way to Emmaus, after his resurrection, he looked like an ordinary man. They didn't recognize him. He talked to them just like a man. But when he got them together, like we are here tonight, I want you to meditate in this word. Like you here tonight, he did something just a little different. And we're doing something just a little different tonight. I'm not the difference, but we're going to do something different. And they recognize the way he did it. See, brother was talking about breaking bread. I'm not breaking bread. I'm not here called to break bread. In fact, he is the one who's going to break the bread. My brother's not wrong. I'm just going to speak to you, but I hope it comes into your heart and break the bread for you, because that's what happened here. You know, the word goes forward, but that's not the end of it. He says, and they recognize the way he did it. See, that was the Christ. It is right. Is that right? And they said, did not our hearts burn within us? So I will preach the gospel. And I will do my best. But if your heart don't burn, you know, with anticipation, we want to see him, a desire, a longing, I cannot do that for you. The word has to do that. I do my part. I pray tonight that he will do something tonight. You know, that's just about every night. Every time you come to church, he has to be doing something. Not 40 years ago. We appreciate the thing he did 40 years ago and filled me with the Holy Ghost. But he needs to be doing something tonight. He needs to be doing something all day long. To tell you the truth, right there, here in the audience, that you will recognize that Jesus has risen from the dead and he's living in the church tonight. Well, he's living in your heart tonight. I trust that you will accept him. May my hope, my all, only alternative is to get you to believe his lovely person and to accept him as a savior, healer, and king. Because if you do that, it's over. My job is easy. I just tell you about it. But you're going to have to, you know, do what we're going to be talking in a minute. Healer, now I will bow our heads. Let's read another quote. He's going to pray. Now, Heavenly Father, the rest is up to you. When I get done, the rest is up to him. Him and you. Say, my dear God and Lord, and when we leave here tonight, these people going to their different homes. There was two disciples one time after the resurrection walked with you all the way to Emmaus. When you got them inside in the door and it's closed, see, that's your heart. You get them into your heart and you start a communion with God, you know, and you start breaking bread with him in the tables of your heart. Somebody could, and the eyes were what? Open. See? Revelation. It's all revelation, and we need more revelation today than we had yesterday. I can only speak the word. I can only bring the oracles of God, but he has to give you the revelation of that word. If not, we just came in vain. But you're going to have to do something. Sitting down, coming to church, checking a box, that's good. You're going to have to do a little bit more. You're going to have communion, the real communion with God in your heart, and break a bread. And let him reveal you what it is you need and you have need of tonight. Because I don't know. He says, and do something here now tonight like you did before your death, burial, and resurrection, that they might know assured that the Christian religion is the only true religion there is. He says, Mahometan, Buddhas, all these other false gods are false, but you are the real God, a living God, one who is risen from the dead and is alive forevermore. He said, keeping your promise in every generation, grant it, Lord, help your unprofitable servant, and may I be yielded to the Holy Spirit, yield your church to receive it. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. We let him pray. Amen. So the way to Emmaus, you know, I know you're familiar with this, but you're not, never heard me preaching about it, so that's what's new anyway. Everything else is the same. So I know we have some young people and some not so young that are going to Mount Lemmon. So I'm going to title this, The Way to Mount Lemmon. You know, just to make it kind of updated, you know, to how they. You know, we all have to have our day to mount, to some mount one of these days. Like Mount Transfiguration. We better start going up. So, I don't know how many are going. How many are going that you're still here? Let's see. How many are going to Mount Lemmon? Okay, this is your first sermon in the series of sermon that you're going to get. I got the chance, the opportunity to preach to you your first sermon before you go to Mount Lemmon. Okay? And then whatever you hear after here is going to be repeat now. I got the privilege to preach to you the guys that are going to Mount Lemmon and get them ready and prepare so they can receive what they have need of. I mean, that's a kind of a tough spot to be, responsibility that we have. So here it is, two guys going to Emmaus, you know, and they were travelers, and I don't think the Bible said that they were part of the 12 disciples, you know, the 11 then, but nevertheless, they probably were part of the 70s, but it doesn't matter because Jesus had to do something. I don't care if it's the 11 or another part of the 70, but God always shows in the scene when there's two people, you know, the Bible says, where they are still gathered together in his name. They were walking in his name, talking about Jesus, even though it wasn't, you know, kind of a sad story, but they were talking about the things that happened. You know, after the Passover, they were going to a village. But Jesus honored that much. I'm glad that he do. Because sometimes we get down and out, you know, and we start going to the first, second, and third pool. But at least he knows us, and he will come in. And he came and appeared to these two disciples. And then we see the story unfolding. They are walking. They are sad. They are delusioned. They are oppressed. They are distressed. They are, you know, the sorrow, the anguish, the affliction. These guys were out. I mean, these guys were in their own little, you know, world here. But they were walking and talking because they expected to see the resurrection. They had some expectation. There's nothing wrong. I hope you and I, we can live every day having the expectation. Don't never lose the enthusiasm for his coming. Because the day that you don't think it's going to come, you know what? He will come. And you don't have to do nothing mysterious or something big. Brother Brown told us in simplicity in that preaching, he says, just make sure you do the little things. Take care of the little things. Every day when you walk with God, take care of the little things. Make sure you're walking with him in his presence. Because if you're walking with him, you will not miss it. You don't have to be doing something big and you know, mysterious. But recognize his presence in every day in your life. Because he's doing something. It is us that we need to recognize. Get his eyes open so we can see him. You know, he does something every day for me. Not yesterday, but before yesterday, today. And he always doing something. It just depends who you're giving the credit to. You know, the other day, last week, my wife, he do this all the time. She had a wedding cake and she needed some raspberry. I hope she don't mind. Because she reminded that to me today, and I was already thinking about it. For me, that's a confirmation. So, she didn't have raspberry. Suddenly, I don't know, this lady walked in. I don't even know who she was. She just walked in. She just barged in the place. And she had a 2-pound bag of raspberry. And says, "Here, I wanted to give you this raspberry." I don't know who she was, where she came from. And my wife comes out and she said, "Yeah, I know her." And she said, "Well, you know, I ordered too much. I don't need this. I already finished and it's going to, you know, spoil. You can have it." And I'm just there, you know. That's simple to me, but I know that's God. And you have to be able to recognize God in your life. It's not the big things. It's just those little things that he do for you. And as long as you're following those little things, he makes sure you see the big thing, the coming of the Lord. But you have to be walking and talking to him. When you are at work, I don't care. He always give me the desire of my heart. All I have to do is to think about it. Next thing I know, here it is. Just like that strawberry, he's come the deliverer lady, you know. Nobody, who you think put that on her mind and all these things. So God is always doing something for me and for my wife. You know, not just a week ago, 3 weeks ago. He's always doing something. I get up in the morning and I don't have to think about, you know, just his mercy afresh. Oh, every day. You know, I wake up and I look at what he has done for me and I start meditating on that. And before you know, you're right into his presence. You can feel him. In the car, you turn the sun, whatever, you start doing something and his presence will come. You need to walk. We need to be in that presence, you know, as much as we can. Because if he comes, you will miss him because you're already in it. Amen. So these two guys, they were walking and they were expecting the coming of the Lord. See, immediately after this death and resurrection, they was expecting that he immediately would resurrect and take his kingdom and take his people, you know, and reveal himself and manifest himself who he was. It didn't happen that way. You know, it was a conspiracy. They said they stole them. You know, the government, I don't want to get into that, but the government has conspiracies, you know. They didn't want to look bad. So what do you think they done? But they stole them. The disciple, all that is just conspiracy. We know they didn't stole them. But the government has to look good. So he's going to tell lies to cover. You know, the amazing thing is that if that would have happened, really, they would have killed all those Roman soldiers because that was death penalty to slip in the guard and to let somebody steal a body even worse. You didn't hear nothing about killing anybody. They told him, you better shut up, because if you don't, I will. So they had to hush, hush. And let's make a lie, you know, and they did. So those disciples were scared now, because their government is trying to either shut up, you know, move on with your life. And if you don't, you know, we got something on you, whatever it was. So these two, they were going back, and probably they were scared too, you know, about the consequences of what just they heard. You know, about the tomb being empty and all this stuff. So they're walking home and they're talking, and it's all doom and gloom. You know, some Christians are like that too. Wake up in the morning and I don't know, and when you see them, they tell you, you know, first, second, and third pull, they tell you the whole thing, you know, what they're going through. There's nothing wrong with that. As long as you know who can take care of these things, you know, don't forget about that. So here they're going, and they just carrying a heavy load, you know, sad, sorrows, you know, no hope, no joy, you know, no praise. And sometimes we come to church, it looks that way. You know? We drag ourselves to church. You know, I always say, leave your car case out there. No, not physically, but leave your mind out there. Come in, you start afresh, and just give all yourself to God and let Him speak to you. You don't live the way you came in. But we drag all this. I'm thinking about this. I'm about that. And my beans are going to burn. And tomorrow I got to go to work. It is too late. It is too long. Then you live here worse than you came in. Why? These two guys, they were all bound, tied. They didn't know what to do. Well, the one that knew what to do, the one with the solutions, jumps in, you know, in the picture. But they were so in their box, so wrapped up in their thing, that they missed him. They didn't recognize who he was. And he was not going to reveal himself to them, because that's not God's way, see? He's not going to just, hey, I'm here. No. He started from the prophets. Why? Because the word tonight, expounding the word, that is how God has chose to reveal himself in your heart, in your heart. Not me telling you. You know, Brother Andy was saying last Sunday, he said, it's not for me to tell you you have the Holy Ghost. That is him that needs to tell you that. We preach the gospel, and you entertain him, and you commune with him, and you open your heart, the tables of your heart, and you commune with him, and he will break it to you. And then you said, as a revelation, it has to be a revelation. It's not because the pastor told you, because I told you. And God reserves that. Revelation, God reserved that part, not me. So, they all sad, sorrows, and these guys are out completely. So, Jesus started talking to them. And they said, well, what's wrong with you? Are you an alien? Where did you come? What planet did you come? You don't know what's going on? You must be the only one. Well, he wasn't the only one. He was the one that went through it. You know? So he kept talking to them. He says, you fools. You know, not in a bad way. You know, slow hearts. What is your faith? Where is your faith? In the things that has seen and heard. I mean, they walk with him. They talk to him. They touch him. They felt him. They ate. And now they're here, like, what happened to all that? And we come to church, and we hear, and 20 years have gone by, and sometimes I feel sorry for, we don't grow. The reason you came to church is because God wants to make sure. This is our part, you know. Our part as a minister is just to give you the word and bring you up to the perfect one that is Christ, you know, to maturity. All this should bring you to maturity. A little here, a little there, and bring you to that point. But God is the one that gives the increase, not me. I preach the gospel, and God will do the rest. Brother Van said, you do the rest. And I'm hoping tonight that he will do the rest. But sometimes we get all caught up in our lives. Nothing wrong, not sin, but sometimes we forget what is our purpose and what we are here for and what we're supposed to be doing. We get so caught up with our life, all tied and bound. And then situations come, you know, whatever it is, you know, afflictions and tests, and then it gets worse, you know. But we need to learn, like these two, how to let go and let God. You know, you need to trust him. See, it is not what you think you know. It's what he says. It's what somebody sent me something I want to share with you. Because he applied right here. I want to share with you. I'm holding this glass of water. How we did this thing, the plastic. No, we are not going to talk about how full and how empty, about pessimism, and you know, even though it will apply here, how we look at life, you know, either half full or half empty. That's not what I want to do. I want you to tell me how much this water weighs in my hands. What is the weight of this water? I don't care if it's in kilograms or pounds. You might say, well, 8 ounces, you know, because this is a container that holds 8 to 12 ounces, whatever. You already know that. And you might say this or that. But that's not what I ask you. I ask you, how much of this weight can you hold in your hands? It's what I ask. It's what I'm looking for. Now, if I put this water down, that'll be easy, you know. It won't hurt me. My hands are down and I continue moving. But what about if I hold this for an hour? Well, I'm going to start getting some pain. And if I hold it longer, you know what? It will paralyze my arm. And the pain going to get excruciating. You know what? Some of us will do that. You know, like these 2 men from Emmaus, you hold into your anxieties. You hold to your nervousness. You hold to whatever you want to hold to. And the more you hold to that, the more heavy it gets. And the heavier it gets, the more painful it gets. And finally, it paralyzes you and you don't come to church. It will paralyze your faith. So the longer you want to hold your little thoughts and your little ideas and your little whatever that you're going through, the worse you're going to get. So, you know, I can hold that water. Not forever. All I have to do is just give it up. Just give it up. Just give it to him. Give all your worries, give up anxieties, your nervousness, whatever you have, give it all to him and forget about it and walk. Because he already said what he's going to do for you. And that's the hard part. But don't be so sensitive, preacher. How can you say that? You know what I'm going through. Yeah, we all. He knows what you're going through. And all some of this stuff and not being sensitive is painful sometimes. And it's bad. But nevertheless, the longer you continue dwelling in it, the longer it's going to hurt. And the longer you're going to be paralyzed. Your faith is not going to go anywhere. Not when you're in that box just complaining about everything. And we come to church and it's the same thing. The longer you want to hold to yourself and you don't let go, the more painful it's going to get for you. Why? Because this is the house of the Lord. And this is the house where you can get loose. But it all depends on you. How loose you want to be loose. How much you want to let go. How much you want to trust him. It's all in you. In me. You know, we got to do something. You know, take our minds away from all these things. These 2 men from Emmaus. See, Jesus has to come in the scene. If you are son or daughter of God, Jesus is going to have to come to the scene. Because you are so wrapped up in your life and everything else that you won't see nothing else. God has to come and really check you. Preaching has to come and check you. You know, Brother Doug been preaching hard and it's not being mean. You need to be checked. Somebody has to. Until you realize that he loved you. And that whatever you're going through, he already went 10 times through that. And he didn't even open his mouth. And if we have 2 or 3 mouths, we open them all. I use my wife and everybody else that wants to let me use theirs. Yeah, because misery likes company. Yeah, you get another one, and you just want to feed on that stuff. And everybody start feeding all that. Suddenly, what's happened with church? What is the deliverance? Oh, I came because I want to see the Lord. I want to experience. But you have to get out of that mentality completely. You come to the store, forget about everything, and just concentrate and focus on Him only. That's all He wants. He will give you the desires of your heart. But as long as we are in that little box and complaining, there's no desire that He wants to give you. But you have to get out. He didn't tell the guys, hey, you know, He said, you little faith. So He kept going. And He kept going and started expounding. And that's what we do in church. We start expounding the word. And we are praying that something will happen in your life. Something happens in my life. I cannot make this. I cannot even make myself do anything. But He can. He can change me. But I have to let go and let God do that work. But we are so happy sometimes. So our head down walking, looking, I don't know for what. There's no riches in the floor. Maybe a penny or two. Our riches are in heaven. And our focus are in heaven. It's not on the floor. And we walk here, we drag ourselves. That's fine. Drag yourself through the door, but don't stay that way. Don't stay that way because He wants to bless you tonight. But you must do something. See? Because if you don't, this is what happens. He started walking after he talked for 6 hours almost. Well, 6 miles. So don't blame me if I talk for 2 hours. He talked to this guy for 6 hours. And then when he got there and they got to the inn and they were going to kind of make that they were going to the inn, Jesus just made like he was going to go straight. See, because He's not going to tell you, hey, I just finished talking to you. Are you going to do something about it? No. God is not that kind of God that imposes. He wants you to make the decision. He already tell you what you need to do, but you have a right to choose whatever way you want to do. You choose here to live the way you came in, or you don't choose that. That is your choosing. That is not the pastor. That's not the church. And the preacher finished preaching, and he started exiting. What are you going to do with the word? Not with the pastor. The word was preached. He's exiting, and you, well, I got to work tomorrow. I got to go. I'm not saying you need to stay, but I'm saying that is not the time to leave. That is the time to invite him in. See, that's what they did. And you know why? Because when they heard the word, their heart was a burning. You know, the Son of God, the S-O-N, the light start coming to their heart and start feeling the warmth. They were out, but now they're feeling this warmth. And you come to church and you feel that way. There's no way, it's no time to leave. Because God is speaking to your heart. And if God is speaking to your heart, today is the acceptable day to answer that call. Not tomorrow. You don't know if you're going to be here tomorrow. So he made like he's going to walk out, away. He's waiting for a response. And if you don't do something today, he walk out. The word goes out. And you will lose your chance to say, I need you. You spoke to my heart tonight. I need you. But it's up to you. So here, finally, they felt so good. They came to church. The atmosphere was right. The spirit was right. The preaching was right. Not because they were right, because God is right. And everything that he does is right and perfect. And suddenly they felt, oh, man, all the weight. You know, come to me, you that are labor, you know. And I take your burdens and I give you mine. That is nothing anyway. But he says, I will give you what? Rest. If you live here on rest, don't blame the church or the pastor. Because he's going to give you what you have need of right now. God is ever-present God. I'm not going to give you something tomorrow or yesterday. As soon as you believe it, it's yours. It's settled. When it comes, I don't know, but it's yours. It's yours to claim. But you got to make that claim. Forget about the symptoms. See? Like the blind man, forget about the symptoms. Because that's a lie. Satan is a liar. He already, God won the victory in that cross. He has no power. Only the power that you want to give him. See? So when he come and talk to you, he's defeated. What can he do to change anything? He lost already. Just don't even talk to that guy. What is he going to do? He just want to stop you from receiving what you rightfully supposed to receive. But you must, don't listen to that guy. You know it's a lie to begin with. Why will we listen? Sickness, whatever you got tonight. A job, I don't know, money, I don't care what it is. If you listen to that guy, he's a liar. He's a liar from the beginning. But the Lamb of God, the King of Kings, he's here tonight. And he has the power through his spirit to do, to create and do whatever he wants. So why would you spend time with a loser? You know? So he did like he was just going to go astray because he's trying to wait for a response. The word is preached. He's waiting for a response tonight from your heart. Are you going to invite him in and break bread with him and commune with the word and how that word opens itself to you and reveal what you have need of tonight? It's an opportunity that you have every time you come to church. Are you going to take the opportunity? It's not, it's going to have another, you know, it's just like you go through the same thing over and over and you don't know why. Well, as soon as you conquer that, it's over and you might get something else, but that's all right. The only way you can get rid of something, you need to overcome something. So when you come to church, this is the opportunity. I don't know what your need is, but you can overcome whatever's holding you back. You know, all you have to do, invite him in, have fellowship, have commune with him, and it's over. Because as soon as you believe it, it's over. It's settled. I don't care how long it will take. It's settled. So they said, the way they fell in such a way they had never felt before. No man has talked to like this man had talked to. I mean, our hearts were just, you know, they haven't felt joy and hope and for so long. Just about 3 days, but I mean, it was long enough. Because they were disappointed. You know, they were waiting for the resurrection to be redeemed. And when they found the body was gone, they were gone too. They were going away from Jerusalem. You know, they were going to their village. But nevertheless, they turned their back at everything that they knew. You know, and it's a sad story when we see some Christian coming to church that they never found that little niche, you know, to let God come to the heart and speak to them and change them. He changed you from glory to glory. You come to church, he changed you. You know, God is in the business of changing. And Satan is in the business just to destroy and stop everything. Why? So here they are. Never felt that way for a while. They haven't felt that way. And he says, don't go. That's what God is waiting tonight. You know, don't go. Please, I need you. It's that simple. It's not difficult. I mean, if it's in your heart, why you will let it go? This is the opportunity to take care of these things, not tomorrow. Tomorrow you won't feel this way. And if you miss church, this preaching, I don't care if you listen to the CD, it will not have the same effect. Because it's not in the CD. He's here tonight, and he's walking around, and he want to meet your needs, and your needs, and your needs, and your needs. He want to save you. He want to do whatever you desire. He wants to, according to his word. But you have to do something. He's going to have to turn around and say, I need you. Can you abide? Can you abide with me? Can you abide with me? Just don't go, please. I need you more than life itself. Can you come and abide a little bit with me? With the word, have fellowship with me? And don't live here until you get what you came looking for. If you live here the way you came, that's your fault. Because here you have everything you have need of. He's here. Whatever two or three are together, he's here tonight. You know? And he wants to talk to you. He loves you. And he wants to talk to you more than you want to be talked to. He wants to feel you more than you want to be filled. He wants to take care of you more than you think you want to take care of. You know, I don't know why we miss these opportunities when we come together. This is just a regular service. You're meeting. You came here to meet with him, right? Not only to meet with him, but I want to take him home. You know? So when I go out, when I'm going to my house in my car, I just keep remembering the word, meditating on that word. You know, and he just blessing you abundantly. He will bless you and bless you. The devil don't want to like it, but who cares about him? I don't even want to mention his name. I don't want to waste my saliva in mentioning his name. If I'm going to do that, I just want to mention God name. At least he can create. He has power. That's what I need. I need power to change my life. So they said, don't go, please. Please, abide. Abide with us. Okay? They had no clue what was going on yet, but they had a feeling. We don't go by feeling, but he had a feeling. But they had no clue until they went inside and he went in. Now they're having fellowship on their own little room in the table. And then he did something that they saw before. And you sit here tonight and he will do something for you that only you will recognize. Maybe it wasn't for me and I probably just look at it, and but he will do for me maybe what he don't do for you. But in his own way, he customized things, you know. Maybe I'm not jumping. Maybe brother is running. Maybe that's crying. And maybe this one, it doesn't matter, you know. We're not here to just cookie cutter. You know, you have to do this, you have to do that. When you invite him in, you bow your head, you might cry. You might jump. You might come here. I don't care. You know, not that I don't care, I don't mind, because he moves away with me that is different with you. The thing is that you get it. He comes in and he breaks bread and their eyes were open. The revelation of the word spoken became life. If not, you come and you go the way we came in. But he wants to change us from glory to glory, the Bible says. He wants to change us. So he's here tonight to make changes. I want to be changed. How many of you want to be changed? I'm not happy with where I am. And I won't be happy until I'm done. Until I burst out of this body completely. Then I will be happy forever with him. So we have to make a decision. So these two men's disciples, at the end, they realize, you know, that the little pity and things that we think they're so big, and not being insensitive, you know, has no relevance with your walk with God. Just a test. You know, it has nothing to do with your life. It has nothing to do only to create more character. I mean, in fact, it's for your own benefit. So don't even give Satan credit for what's going on. God allows these things for a reason. He loves you. He needs to create certain things. But he wants to reveal to you, you know, not to a group. This is not a groupy thing, even though we're the bride. But he wants to talk to you tonight, to you. It has nothing to do with nobody else. It's only you. He cares for you tonight. And he wants to talk to you. But you need to invite him in tonight. I'm not saying that you need salvation. That's not the point. The point is that we need him. We need him every day. I'm done. So, can we stand? I want to pray. Bow your heads. First, I want to, all the people that are going to come, if you come here, in the, I want to have a prayer for you. Because I want you to go to Mount Lemmon and leave all the trash down here and everything that will hold you and will stuff for you to receive his word. When you get up there to the mountain, let your mind be clear. Nothing, withholding nothing, open it. Because God wants to do something for you. But he wants your heart. So you guys that are going, come on, don't be ashamed. You stand here because I want to pray for you. All you guys are going to Mount Lemmon. I want to pray for you. Because I want God to do something for you like he did with those two guys. From I want God to open your eyes. I want God to open your life. I want God to have a chance to do something. Listen, my friend, this has been long coming. My brother, pray. This is not going to be just a camp. This is going to be more than a camp. I want this to be the first day of walking joy and unspeakable and full of glory. This is not just another camp, check. I want this camp to be something that you will remember forever. I want you to remember that God met you in that mountain. That the God that is risen will meet you in that mountain. But you're going to have to do something. In the way up to the mountain, start throwing things out. No, don't throw your luggage, but I mean, start throwing things out of your life.
forget about this. Lord, forgive me about this. Empty, because he wants to fill you, and he only going to fill you as much as you want to empty. So if I was you, I will empty all. Every thought that you had, every ambition you have, I don't care what you have. Just when you get up there, make sure there's nothing left in your mind. Let us pray. Father, we thank you tonight, Father, because we're standing here. We want to make a confession. We want to stand in your word tonight. We want to say, Father, I want you to come. Abide with me. Those 3 days, come and make your abode in my heart, Lord. Just tell me, Lord, I love you. Come and let's have fellowship. Let's break some bread and explain to me. Give me the revelation that I need and I have need of. As this brother preached the gospel, they only can preach, Lord, but you can reveal to me what I have need of. Father, whatever it is, Holy Ghost, whatever, I don't know what your kids has need of, but he knows your heart and he knows what you have need of. And he is ready to do and perform that work in your lives tonight. Father, grant it in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, Lord. Like he did when that day after he resurrected. He has resurrected. He's alive and well in our hearts. Father, help us, Lord, never, never forget what you have done for us. We love you, Lord, and maybe we made mistakes. Sometimes we fail, but nevertheless, this is, you can take my failures, you can take my weakness, you can take all that and exchange it for something else powerful, that my weakness become a strength, Father, because that is how you work. You take my filthy robes and you can give me some clean and pure and holy ones. Take everything away from me, Lord, and let me have you. It's all we need. We need you, Lord. And we will be different. In the morning, the birds will sing a different song. The song will shine a little bit different. Life become a little bit different. Because with you, all things are possible. We thank you and we appreciate you, Lord. Tonight, we are not doing this as an exercise. I believe that you will do something. Because that is you in the business of doing things and doing changes. This is not an exercise. Just believe God. And that settles the whole thing. Father, take their minds, take their hearts. Lord, cover them, protect them, speak to them this week. Father, and we will give you all the glory and the honor, and we can wait for the testimonies, Lord. In Jesus' name, we ask you these things. Amen and amen. Thank you. Thank you, guys. Now, the second thing, how many of you have something in your heart that you want to open it? You don't have to tell me. But if you have something, come, I pray for you too. I believe that God wants to do something. Listen, God didn't give me something just because I had nothing else to do or just to entertain you. This is no entertainment. I don't care how small or how big it is. It doesn't matter. Just come and I will pray. If you have something that you need to overcome, some victory or something nagging, you know, God is here right now to meet you. Take the opportunity. Invite him in. Because this is not just a service. It's never a service when he comes around. It's never a service. Anybody else? You guys are back there. Feel of the Holy Ghost. Pray for these ones. Amen. You know, I have needs too. I'm not preaching this to you guys. I had to preach this to me twice now. I need them, and I need them today more than I need them yesterday. In fact, tomorrow and the next, I'm going to need more and more and more, because the more I get, the more, one of these days I will just burst out, because there's not going to be nothing left of Eli, and that's what I want. I do have my problems. I do have my fights. Let's pray. Father, we love you, Lord, tonight. Father, we ask you to let that Holy Spirit empower to come down, Lord, and just baptize everyone. Lord, you know what is needed. You know what our heart is just crying out for. Father, we love you, and we know that you're the only one can do these things.
We are not doing this in vain. We are not just hitting the wind. We know what we're doing. We had a prophet that came. We have the word restored. We know what we're doing. And we want to depend completely and solely in you, Father, tonight. Come, Lord, minister to every heart. You know what they have needs. Given that it's out of their heart, I pray tonight in the lovely name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise your holy name. Hallelujah, Lord. Come, Jesus. We invite you to come, Lord. Come and take your rightful place in my heart, Lord. Take it, Lord. Change it, Lord. Do whatever you want, Father. It's yours. I love you, Lord. It's yours, Lord. Whatever you want, I turn myself to you tonight. Father, it doesn't matter about tomorrow. It's tonight. Tonight. Come on and come in my heart, Lord. And make us better Christians to love one another, the sweetest. Help one another, Lord, when we're in trouble. We need one another, Lord. Help us to open our hearts. Be patient. Oh, God, we need the fruit of your Spirit. As we wait on you, Lord. I know you will not disappoint us tonight, Father, because it is you that we're seeking after. And no fables and no stories, it is you. You are the life. You are the one. And there's no other one like you. So we are not wasting our time. We know that if we have trust and confidence, you will do the rest. Help us to wait. Help us to trust you. Help us to just hang on to every word that comes out of your mouth. We need it. Not of breath, but all the word that comes out. You have spoken, Lord. Let it be done. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.